We're going to go to the word of the Lord today, and we're going to be reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Aren't you thankful for the word of God? Amen. Especially during times like this, and I challenge you, be reading the word of God, studying the word of God. Take extra time. Get you a good cup of coffee or a cup of tea or maybe a glass of water and find somewhere comfortable. And sit down and spend time reading through the Word of God. It'll be a blessing, a help, an encouragement to you, and you can depend upon God's Word. 1 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. Now these were the sons of David, which were born unto him in Hebron, the firstborn Amnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, the second Daniel of Abigail, the Carmelitess, the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. Aren't these some names? The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Sephatiah of Abital. The sixth, Ethran, by Eglah, his wife. These six were born unto him in Hebron, and there he reigned 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. Verse 5, it says, and these were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shimea, and Shobab, and Nathan, and Solomon, four of Bathshua, the daughter of Amiel. And then it says, verse 6, Abhar also, and Elishama, and Eliphelet, and Noga, and Nepheg, and Japha. Verse 8 says, and Elishama, and Eliada, and Eliphelet. 9. Now, these were some different scriptures today, but I believe that God is going to show us something and encourage us with something from these names of David's sons. I want us to pray, and let's ask God to just speak to our hearts and minister to our minds and our spirits today. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the hidden things in your word, God, things that we may not see them on the surface, but as we study and as we rightly divide the word of God, we can see under, and we can understand and we can know and have encouragement and strength. And I pray that you'd open our understanding today. I pray that you would bring a blessing upon every person that is watching here from the word of God and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We, of course, know all about the more recognized names among the sons of David. Of course, there was Solomon, who succeeded him as king. There was Amnon, Absalom, Adonijah, who were each a grief to David. Nathan was apparently named after Nathan the prophet, who reproved David for his sin. And apparently David loved the prophet Nathan for as long as he lived, and he named one of his sons after him. It's interesting to see that. And apparently we see that Jesus Christ descended from that son of David, Nathan. But it's not one of these more recognized names that we're going to focus on here today. It's of these last three, and perhaps the last three to be born, three names that we are not well acquainted with, but they do represent something that's very important to us, just as they did to their father David. Now, in the Old Testament, parents placed a lot of importance in the names that they chose for their children. And they would often name them to be a living reminder of some experience that they had in their life. And perhaps it was a great spiritual experience with God that they had gone through, or something that stood out during a time of life that they wanted to bring attention to, and they wanted to remember that in the future. And things have definitely changed today. Today, people name their children after, well, their favorite celebrity or whatever the popular trend in names is. But of these three sons of David, perhaps the three that were born the last, they represented something special to him, something to remember. Their names signified something that that was important, very important in David's life. And in fact, two of these three names, if you will study this, two of these three had been given to other sons who probably had died, and David selected them again for later sons that he had. And so for a few moments today here, we want to consider through these names of these three unknown sons, what David remembered. Amen. What David remembered. The names of these three are unknown to most of the world and even to most who read their Bibles regularly. Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. Now, they're somewhat hard to pronounce, but maybe if we know their meanings, it will help us to remember what David remembered. These three names mean God hears, God knows, and God delivers. Now that's language that everyone can understand, especially in times of trial like we are facing today. God hears, God knows, and God delivers. Amen. And so that is what David wanted to remember. And when he looked back on spiritual moments, on landmarks of his relationship with God, when he chose the names of these last three sons, and what was important to David was to remember that God hears, God knows, and God delivers. Amen. David, of course, he had some incredible experiences with God. He knew personally how God had heard him. He knew how God had answered his prayers. He knew that the eye of God was upon his life. He knew that God had delivered him again and again. He had faced the bear. He had faced the lion. He faced the giant Goliath. He faced that troubled King Saul. He had dealt with battles and trials and heartaches. And every time he looked at Elishama and Eliadah and Eliphelet, he was reminded of those experiences of God's faithfulness, of his power and his help, of his wisdom and his understanding. And David remembered. David remembered. Elishama, God hears. First of all, David knew the power of prayer. We read a prayer of David in Psalm 86. He cries out in verses 3 through 6. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications." David knew what it was to cry out daily to God. And how much should we, even today, how much more should we have a daily lifestyle of prayer? Crying out to the Lord and lifting our voice unto him and asking that he would turn his ear toward us. And I will tell you today, I believe this, and we have a promise in the Word of God that God will hear. Psalms 51 and 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." God hears. David wanted to remind himself of this fact every day of the week. And so he named one of his sons in his house. He named him Elishama. God hears. I want to tell you today, it does not matter what you are facing. It does not matter the weight of the burden that you are carrying. And maybe it seems like there is no one there for you. There was no one there for you during this time. That nobody knows the load you're under and the trial that you are facing. That no one hears your cry. I want to encourage you today that if you will cry out to the Lord, he will hear. God will hear you in the time of need. Could it be that the answer for our world, the solution for America, It's not going to come just through medical science. It will not be just found in man's wisdom, but it will. Oh, I want to tell you, I believe it's going to come when we turn our hearts toward heaven, when we cry out to God. We have a promise that God will hear. As I've been preaching now for several weeks, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God will hear. Is there anything that can keep God from hearing our prayers? Isaiah 59 and verse 1 tells us, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Oh, what a horror! More than any scary movie and more important than any other fear in life, we should be terrified of ever being in that place that our sin would separate us from God, that our sin would cause him to hide his face from us, that he would not hear our prayers. For those who do not obey God's word, for those who are not born again of the water and of the Spirit, for those that are not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and are not filled with the Holy Spirit as evidenced by speaking in tongues, for those who did not live holy lives separated from sin, I want to tell you the ultimate everlasting punishment will be their soul living on and on for eternity in a state that is separated from God. Never to know the comfort of God's presence and never to know that he hears your prayers and never to receive relief from that eternal damnation, separation from God. That will be the ultimate tragedy for those who are lost. Better to repent of sin today. Oh, come on, it's better to be honest with ourselves and with God right now and to admit where we have messed up and to repent for how we have disobeyed God and to ask God to forgive us of our pride and forgive our rebellion and forgive our ungodly ways. It'd be better to humble ourselves right now, to turn from our wicked ways so that God will hear our prayers. Amen, amen. David understood this. If you read his prayer in Psalm 51, after Nathan the prophet came to him and confronted him with his sin, he didn't try to justify what he had done. He didn't pray that God would let him escape the consequences of what he'd done. He didn't ask God to hide it so that nobody knew. Throughout his prayer, his one desire was, "God, cleanse me. Don't you forsake me, but restore me to." Psalm 51 and 7, he prayed, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." Amen. I cannot urge this and say this any more strongly today. If you are running from God, if you are running from his presence, if you are resisting the touch of God's Spirit that is reaching for you, if there is sin in your life and you're still trying to stay in control and not willing to release things to God, please, oh, please hear this preacher today. God is calling you to repentance. You don't have to live that life all alone anymore. You don't have to suffer any longer in turmoil and fear and guilt and shame for what you've done. But if you will ask God to forgive you, if you will come to him in repentance, if you will turn away from your sin, I tell you today that God will hear you. But you must cry out to God for repentance today. David found that out. And in his great sin, he cried to the Lord. He said simply to the prophet Nathan, he said, "I have sinned against the Lord." And David found out that God heard him. And God did hear David's prayers throughout his life. And he wanted to remember it. He wanted that witness to live on even after he died. Elishim, God hears. Have you been praying for a great need in your life? Remember today, God hears. Come on, have you been praying for a miracle in your life? Remember, God hears. Have you been praying for a family member who is lost and needs God? Remember, God hears. Even if you don't see a change, even if the circumstances don't show it, remember, God hears. Can we thank the Lord for that right now? Thank you, God, for hearing us. Thank you, Lord, for turning your ear towards us. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. And all that David went through and every experience that he had, one thing that David knew, one thing that he remembered, one thing that he was sure of is that God hears. He wrote in Psalm 34, he said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." He says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." I don't care what you're facing today. I don't care what you might be up against and how hopeless it might seem. If you will cry out to God today, if you will seek the Lord, he will hear you, because God hears. God hears. Second, Eliada, God knows. God knows. David found that out. It was a bitter and a costly experience. It involved tragedy and shame. He tried to cover his sin with Bathsheba. He had a deceitful plan, and he may have even thought for a time that he had got away with it. But even after Bathsheba's husband was dead and she was now in the palace as David's wife, 2 Samuel 11:27 says, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." God knows. God knows. And the prophet Nathan brought the king a message from God, and David was so stirred in his heart. He was quick to judge the sin in another man's life and not so quick to judge his own. Until the prophet looked him in the face and said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." God knew what David knew. There was no covering it up. There was no hiding it. There was no escaping the fact God knows. God knows. There is no secret as far as God is concerned. We may have been all alone when we did that sin. We may have covered our tracks. We may have spun a web of lies and deceit. But I tell you, God knows. God knows. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." God knows. Jeremiah 17:10, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Even Samuel, when he came to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons as the next king of Israel, he looked at Eliab and he thought, "Surely this is the guy. Surely God's anointing is on this one." And 1 Samuel 16:7 tells us, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." You see, everything on the outside looked good. Eliab had the appearance. He had the physical stature. But God sees what we can't see. He looks at the heart, and he wasn't looking at the outside, but he was looking for a young boy named David who may have been lacking maybe in outward appearance, but he had a heart after God's own heart. There is nothing hidden from God. We might as well just give up trying to hide it from him today. We might as well be honest with the Lord. And God, you see it anyway. You know what I'm going through. You know my failures. You see where I've fallen. Amen. There's no use in us trying to hide it. But God, forgive us and help us and deliver us. Don't let us stay this way. But God, reach for us and pull us up out of the pit that we're in. Help us be what you have designed for us to be. David wanted to remember this. Out of all the experiences that he went through, he did not want to forget this one. And so he named him Eliab to remind himself at breakfast and at lunch and at dinner, God knows. God knows. We need to remember that. Amen. We need to remember God knows the good and he knows the bad. God knows where we're at. Amen. Come on, if we're struggling today, if we're in sin, if we're in heartache, God knows. If, even if we feel like we're all alone, God knows. He has not forgotten us. Amen. He hasn't overlooked us. He knows. And yes, it's kind of a fearful thing to think that, well, God sees me every time I fall. And my sin just can't escape him. I can't get away from him. But to those who have been born again, what a comfort it is knowing that he has made a way for us to be free from the guilt and the shame of sin. 1 John 1:8 declares, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But then 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Before this day is over, every single one of us needs to find a place to pray. And we don't need to deceive ourselves, but we need to be real. We need to face our sin because God already knows it. He sees it. But if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. You need to remember today. We never need to forget. Remember every single day as David did. God knows. God hears. God knows. And third today, Eliphelet, God delivers. God delivers. Now, the first two would be unbearable without this third. God hears, God knows, and God delivers. And some people without a true relationship with God, they would think about it that way. Well, God, you hear everything. God knows everything. And they think of him just sitting ready to judge them and ready to condemn them. And they think there is no hope. But oh, yes, there is, because God delivers. God delivers. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. That was not his purpose. But he came that the world through him might be saved. David named his son Eliphelet to remind him of this great truth that God delivers. David wrote in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise the Lord. Just because we live for God, it doesn't mean that we won't ever have trouble. No, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and godly people face trouble. We face danger and adversities, and we all have a cross to carry, but we do have a promise that God will deliver us, and he will bring us through. Thank the Lord. Psalm 91 has been a great strength to me during this time, and I recommend that you read it. Read it every day or multiple times a day if need be. And pray these promises from God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I want to tell you, God hears, God knows, and God delivers. Aren't you thankful for His delivering power? Aren't you thankful that He has delivered you? And if He's done it before, He can do it again. You stand on God's word and you cling to these promises in the time of trouble. There is nothing that you can get yourself into that God can't deliver you out of. Come on, there is no sin, there is no trouble, there is no situation that we can get ourselves into that God can't deliver us out of. And so you need to stop having fear about where you're at and just turn it over to the Lord and say, God, here I am. I pray that You would deliver me from this. Come on, right where you are, God, I pray that You would deliver me. Deliver me from trouble. Deliver me from sin. Deliver me from this situation. Deliver us, God, from this sickness that is plaguing our world. We thank You, Lord. We know that You deliver. You deliver. I bring you a great message of hope today. Amen. God is not an idol that has been made by the hands of man. He was not made out of wood or of metal or of stone. God is not a lifeless figure of our imagination. Something that we created ourselves and so He doesn't have any strength and no ability to hear our prayers and no power to answer. So, oh no, I want to tell you, God hears and God knows and God delivers. Amen. David, the great king of Israel, he wanted to be reminded of these facts every day, every time he saw those boys, every time he faced a decision, every time he was in trouble. He wanted to remember Elishama and Eliatai and Eliphelet. God hears, God knows, and God delivers. Amen, amen. And if it was that important to David, then we need to take notice today. Every single one of us, regardless of who we are and where we live and what we're going through, I tell you, we all have different struggles. We all have things we struggle with. We all have trouble. We all have trials and things that we experience. But we need to remember, as David remembered, God hears and God knows and God delivers. In closing, I want to leave you the passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me encourage us today. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, He is not one that can't identify with the trouble that we go through. He's not one who can't sympathize with our weaknesses. It says that He faced all the same temptations that we do, yet without sin. And so let us therefore come boldly to His throne of grace. We can come before Him with confidence that we will find mercy and we will find grace and help in our time of need. This is one of the greatest times of need that this world has ever seen. Not the greatest ever, but probably the greatest since many of us have been alive. And we are living in this time. But we can come before the throne of God. We can come before Him with confidence. We can boldly approach Him to find mercy and to find grace and to get help in this great time of need. Oh, how we need to remember, as David did, God hears, God knows, and God delivers. right where you are right now, right there with those gathered around you, or maybe you're all alone. I want you to pray right now. We're going to join together in prayer, and we're going to stand upon these promises that, God, we're going to pray, we're going to repent of our sins, we're going to live right, we're going to do what you want us to do. And I know, God, that you're going to hear, that you know what we're going through, and you are going to deliver us. You are going to make a way of deliverance for our lives and for our families, for this church, and for all of us that are in this together. You are going to deliver us and bring us through. Would you pray with me right now where you are? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these promises. And Lord, we stand upon this truth, God, these hidden meanings in these names, God, that David wanted to remember. And Lord, we call them to our remembrance today. Lord, we know that you hear, God. You have heard our prayers, and you are going to answer. Lord, we know that you know where we're at. You know what we are going through and what we are facing. You see the trouble. You see the pain. You see the problems that we are facing, God, and you know exactly where we're at. You've not forgotten about us, Lord, but we thank you that you know where we are. And God, we thank you that you deliver. You deliver. Oh God, I thank you for your delivering power. I pray that you would touch every single person, every heart, every home right now. And I pray that you would deliver, God. Deliver us from sin. Deliver us from addiction. Deliver us from worldly mindsets. Deliver us from the attachment to this world, oh God. And yes, deliver us from this sickness. God, we pray that you would hear our prayer, that you would know where we're at, and that you would deliver us in this great time. And we give you praise and worship. We give you glory today, God. We trust in you. We stand upon your promises. We declare your word. We declare it with faith. And God, we worship you for the answer today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you just thank God for his love? I feel his presence. I feel his goodness. I feel his power reaching for our lives today. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your help in this time of need. We praise you and worship you, O God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just lift your hands right there. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you. We worship you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor and praise. I pray that your power would work in us, Lord. I pray that your spirit would move upon us, Lord. Touch our lives, God. Change us today. Make us what you want us to be, Lord. God, we lay down every bit of pride. We lay down every bit of rebellion. We lay down every sin, God. We turn away from it. We repent today. And Lord, we seek your face. We seek your will and your blessing in our lives. Right where you are right now, God is going to deliver you. God is going to bless you. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you've never spoken in other tongues, if you've never received that wonderful gift, I encourage you just keep on praising the Lord right now, and he will fill you in that place. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you need to call us. You need to get a hold of us. We will make a way to baptize you. You must be born of a water and of the Spirit if you're going to make it to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. We're thankful for the power of God that we feel today. And we pray that God's blessing be upon you, that he would help you and strengthen you and keep you during this time. And we're looking forward to when we can celebrate coming again together in worship. Amen. God bless you today.